Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Morning. How very nice. Very nice.
Yes?
I am most happy to come here to speak, Mr.
Yes? You can hear me quite well.
It is the concentration of my thoughts which is transmitted to your thoughts. via the artificial response, which is responsive and react and vibrate upon this condition and give to you my thoughts. So the thoughts when you communicate in LC, transmitting artificially to you.
No, no, it's on me. When I'm giving these tape registrations, I give a small lecture beforehand. Am I correct in the description of how you people come through?
Oh, yes, quite. Of course, we must also remember that there are varying methods.
Mm-hmm.
That the chief method and the fundamental method is always the transmission of thought which is done artificially. That is what people will not do not realize in the world. Sometimes they question the intonation or the sound of the voice and say, well, that sounds rather like so, rather more so, this or that, you know. They must remember that the voice itself must be artificially created. It cannot be naturally reproduced as it would be in your own sphere, with your own physical body. You are not using the same body, you are not using the same vocal organs. You're not, indeed, you are not even communicating under natural conditions. All communication must still be unnatural. Although we are naturally anxious to communicate and we are desirous of it, the methods that we have to employ are not in a sense natural. They have to be transmitted artificially to you. And therefore, the miracle is that you receive anything. The people who come to criticize the similar fundamental truth.
It's a long problem.
How do you mean not have any
problem? Well, one thing. So I just criticized quite a lot.
Oh, I see. Well, that is part of me.
Mm-hmm.
It is very unlikely, particularly in the first instance of communication, that a person will be able to recapture identically the voice of the nasty body. Mm-hmm. I do not think that you see the voice. After all, what concerns a particular voice is the physical organism, the body, the construction of the larynx, of the vocal organs, the education of the individual, or the lack of it. In other words, a voice is something which is built up in your world over a long period. And when we reproduce, we must reproduce artificially. So it depends on how much we can recapture and remember of ourselves. You know, it's not easy. People do not understand this. They should make more allowances. After all, it is what we say, not so much what our voice has done back to
mind. Well, when you're speaking now, are you actually just thinking what you're saying into the voice box and it comes out as fast?
You see, we build the voice box, it's empty. To start with it, utilize the need to present launch the medium and also sometimes the citizens of the prisons, they reproduce for vector patterns and replica of the vocal organs, let's say the speech, that is held as it were in an auric emanation or an auric condition or on by the medium, then we have to enter into the medium's vibration and the vibration particularly of the auric voice box. And then we have to transmit by thought, and that is automatically reproducing sound in your vibration.
As the sense of principle, when you impress upon anybody, you impress a thought into their mind to say to do certain things or to say certain things.
All communication, whether it is in your world or from this world, is mental. It must be. There is not a single thing that you may do that first your mind is not conscious, it does not, as it were, make it possible. You lift a finger, your mind, your thoughts, then your finger to move.
Well, when it takes, in, say, for instance, a trance medium, when the split communication puts them over, they're actually using their vocal cords on it?
Oh, yes. There's a difference between trance medium ship and the next body.
Yes, I know, but that's very actually using their vocal cords.
That is so. Obviously, they must transmit through the medium, and the medium's vocal organs are used.
Mm-hmm.
The medium becomes, as it were, the subject. In other words, the instrument is really under hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
The more deep the trance, the more hypnotic the power. All medium ship, system is said, must be under hypnotic influence. In other words, we take control of the instrument. The more we can take control of the instrument, the more successful are our contacts.
Mm-hmm.
The medium who is conscious, the medium who receives, is not invariably such a good instrument.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the medium must be prepared to lose his identity completely. In other words, to give up his death so that he may be taken over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking of here, of course, of mental mediumship, trans mediumship. There is a vast difference between mental and trans mediumship and direct noise, which And those voices, I can hear them. It is obviously the maze, because we can bypass them if they avoid the medium completely.
So what are you talking about now? You can hear us, that's plainly.
I am more conscious of your thoughts, that is, than I am of the sound. I am conscious of the sound. I do not always speak, how you say, I'm not always conscious of exactly what you are saying, but before you enunciate the word, quite often I can pick it.
Okay, so we're working in reverse of the word. Our sound is coming into your soul.
I think what one must bear in mind is, and this is not fundamental thing in communication, is that oral communication is method. Whether it is with human beings or the animal kingdom, human birds, whatever the form of life, there is thought. There is the power to send out. It is a form of telepathy.
And can you see what it is here?
I can, if I concentrate. This is again, I don't think it is possible for you to understand it, right? It depends on the amount of concentration that I put into it. The more highly concentrated the thought of the communicator, the more successful will he be in his communication, whether it is in transmitting a message, or whether it is in actually being present, that is, to be knowledgeable, or to be able to see the people, in this case, who are in the room, and also from the point of view of principles, materialization. It all depends on the tremendous thought power of the communicator. The more they are able to concentrate that thought, the more dynamic it is, the more solidified it can become by concentration. The concentration of thought is the big factor in successful communication.
So when you talk to her, how did you talk to her?
Well, I have some idea of this, of course, which was fortunate. But I was very happy because I knew what had happened to me. I was not a stranger to this knowledge. I knew that I had talked to her and that I was quite content. I was quite satisfied. In other words, I was not clinging to any particular preconceived idea. That which I had been given had satisfied me with the reality that there would be a life after death. It would be in many ways a natural existence, which I found it was. I had no sort of religious, strong religious conviction, which would hamper me. I found that everything here was quite normal, but natural. In many ways, the life which I found myself was very similar to that which I had experienced on earth. When I say this, what I'm trying to convey is that our world is in many ways like from the point of view of nature. We have all that you would expect in the world of natural surroundings. We have all the flies, the birds, everything, all that you would hope for in a new life that would make one happy.
So when did you actually find yourself in the park? How did you find
I was in what I suppose you would call a physical garden, which was not unlike a garden that I've known in my youth. And in this, I have since discovered, of course, that in a sense it was almost a replica carried over by the mind, the thought of my bear. You see, they had always loved this garden, and I've been used to it. And in consequence, it was quite natural that they should have that surrounding, which they retain. You see, we do not realize what a tremendous effect we have by our thoughts. A man is no more or less than that he thinks. If he creates certain thoughts which are strong and real to him, they are reality. And he will find he has created certain conditions under which he will cease to live, for he dies until he changes his outlook and his thoughts. We are no more or less.
But being said, if you can imagine a lovely garden in your thoughts, it's a reality you're creating, and it's far from the science.
So,
a lovely garden in my thoughts.
But we must differentiate here a little, because there is a difference between what you would call imagination and that which you have had to create by effort. There are certain illusionary conditions here. In other words, the person may be under an illusionary vibration, or condition rather, and in an illusionary vibration, which will pass when the illusion passes, when the mentality changes. The reality is here is something quite different. Many people go through phases, changes, according to the habit, their expectation of things, that realities are quite different things. many other things here are real. Indeed, there are more than anything in our life. And also you must remember that many other things here are created not by thought alone. It is true that always the beginning there is the thought, but effort must come into it. And also, by your efforts, you must make it possible. And also, you must be worthy of that which you achieve. Certain things come to you naturally in the first place, but they are not necessarily always permanent.
You should tell me, how you influence a person, say in a lecture or certain things, whether it's on a platform you want to give a lecture on.
We can only affect a person according to how much they will allow us to affect them. We cannot force anything. Here, everyone has free will. Of course, the same as in the world, so you have free will. You may say that it is not always possible to follow your free will, which is true enough on Earth, because the circumstances beyond your control and influences of other people. But here, for the first time, your free will comes to play, into play. You know? Here, if you wish to listen to something or something is being said, then you listen. But you are not forced to accept something until you yourself can accept it. In other words, although we may discuss things here, we may, for instance, like I often go to people in places and lectures, science and all scientific things, there are some people who can receive my expression, can receive my thoughts, and accept them. Some people who will ask and intelligent questions, and some people who will follow out some things that I may commit to them. But there are others who perhaps have not received that, how you say, have not reached that stage of development, and they cannot understand and they cannot accept. Everything here is a matter of right, of course. We cannot expect to convince everyone. Everyone here is not on the same strata. Everyone here is not always receptive but to certain influences and certain thoughts. In other words, it is only evolution, and that is life.
Well, interested in the scientific
side,
isn't it? The mind is special.
But what I am most interested in, for the main reason why I come to you all here, is that I am very conscious of the darkness that must arise in the minds of people who are beginning, you might say, to search into this great truth. And although they are anxious for conviction, there are many things which they find impossible to accept, things they do not, because they cannot exactly understand. And they often, of course, quite wrongly, although in their own estimation quite rightly, expect certain things to be given to them clear and sharp without any distortion. They must remember and realize that you cannot hope to obtain this sort of things that you might call evidence without sometimes some distortion. You may see so far, and you may receive so much, but you must remember that whatever we have to convey to you, we must to some extent bring it down to a level by which you can understand it and which you can accept it. And also, of course, people do not realize that there are many difficulties and complexities, even with people whom you know well, relations and friends whom you love and whom you are anxious to communicate with. So you may expect them to say the most obvious things. But then again, the most obvious things are not necessarily the most evidential or the most convincing. You may think so. You may expect those things and say, if I can receive so-and-so and so-and-so, I will know that it's good, that it was correct, that is truth to me. But then again, you go away and you say, well, I knew that it was in my thoughts, that I knew the answer to this or that problem or this or that question or this and that thought. And you said, ah, perhaps the medium need my thoughts. That is why quite often communicators in this type will deliberately give to you certain information which is not registered in your own mind, things which you do not even know. But if you can prove that to be so, what they have told you, that is much better evidence, because you could not be in your thoughts. In other words, we have to guard against this thought transfer to some extent in communication, because we have to avoid these things. If we have to bring conviction into your world, we must be able to tell you things of which you have no knowledge and which can be proved afterwards. That's why we often, for instance, go in for, how you say, for prophecy. We don't prophesy just for the sensationalism of prophecy. We do it entirely for a good purpose. to give you conviction that we can see or discover anything that we know, which we do know, because we are not in time, which are in fact, we are in fantasy, we can see a little further. We are rather like the man in the other plane, you know, we can see around the corner of the road that you and the car came up. It is very important for people to realize that all the things we do are for the purpose. We seldom do anything just for the sake of doing it, for something to say, or just for that moment to please. We do everything, entirely everything. But it is also to come with this working mind and heart for the advancement of truth. We are concerned with truth, and in consequence we work for that end, to give it and express it to you and prove it to you. We are not concerned with mundane material things, which are so important to many people. After all, majority of people, as you well know, who go to spiritualists and psychic centers, they are more concerned with the personal self. They are more concerned with material things. Well, we may help you with those things as far as we may, but we are much more concerned, obviously, with spiritual things, things that are permanent, things that are real, things that are lasting. And when people come to us intelligently and spiritually combined, and work in harmony with us, and realize our difficulties, and cooperate with us, and our visions, nothing is impossible to the power of the system. But the majority of people who are supposed to understand the truth are only concerned fundamentally with self, in some shape or form. They are concerned with material things. They expect the spirit world to be advanced with the most mundane problems, which of course sometimes we do. Sometimes we do it not only because we wish to be of help, but sometimes because we want to give a kind of evidence. But the whole point is that the majority of people who should know better are not concerned with the spiritual facts, the reality, the things that can be of real value to the world. We come with your word to show man how to live and how to express himself spiritually and advance far away from the material possession of things. We have a purpose. And when the spiritualists have a purpose, and nothing is impossible. There are far too many, I'm afraid, who are content with the small things. They are not prepared to go further.
There is one question I'd like to ask you for a minute.
You must be quick when I'm to the party.
Oh, you say you can see around the corner. Well, how do you see things recorded? Are they recording on the eastern as it were?
Partly. And partly because we can see the outcome of action. Not only of the individual, but other people who affect that individual and what their thoughts in regard to certain situations will be. In other words, we can, we can foresee because of the obvious development on certain lines.
Thank you.
Anyway, I must go, but I will come with you again as far as many, and my blessing to you, go on with your good work.
Thank you.
Au revoir.
Thank you for interesting to us.
Papa!
Jeremy, yeah, thank you. Yeah.